Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life." This is the word of the Lord.
Tough times make tough people. Tough times come and go, but the tough people last. Christianity is not something I would suggest people would just naturally sign up for. You know, from reading the scriptures, if I was to read out all the scriptures to you, that I could read out quite a few scriptures where you go, I don't want anything to do with this. But I suppose that the thing is, I'm not here as a seller of Christianity. If selling Christian, being a Christian was my gig, I couldn't do it. You know, but and unfortunately, I think the church sometimes falls into that mindset of, oh, we're the purveyors of Jesus Christ. We're the seller. You're not selling Jesus. I'm not selling Jesus. Jesus is coming as a free gift to all, as a blessing, as an offering for all, for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, the media sometimes just wants to point out all the fun bits of being a Christian, where they can distort it and use it against us and say that there's disunity in the church and say that we're horrible people from our historic stuff that we've done. And I'm not going to cover that up, far from it. But sometimes the media is Christophobic, because if you notice, they'll decry the Christian church. They won't decry some of the other Christian sects that are out there, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, who had really poor track records when it came to child sexual abuse institutionally. It was obscenely high levels. But they also don't mention the Jewish and the Muslim and some of the other communities out there, because they're Christophobic. Now, I'm not here to talk about other religions today, but I am here to tell you that Christianity is a free gift. It's a love offering for each person who wants to come. But I've got to tell you, it's not for the faint-hearted sometimes. And that's where we're called to be tough people for Jesus. If all I ever do is deal with the Dr. Feelgood passages, then your faith will be still sipping the milk or eating the McHappy meals of Christianity. And you will not grow. You'll just be little children of Jesus, and that's it. And I say, you know, I've met 70, 80-year-old people who are still little McHappy Meal Jesus people. Good on you. But there comes a time when you actually have to start eating the meat and eating the difficult stuff and chewing a bit. You know, this is a passage that draws us today as to why we need to be spiritually mature. Reading the Word, praying with our Father daily, and spending time in just laying our lives before Him and seeing what He's got as a call, trusting and relying on Him alone. The challenges in this passage are constantly coming to fruition, nation against nation. We see this around the world. I mean, what's happened in Palestine is terrible. But what's happened in, say, Syria, with 500,000 people being killed? If we go up to the Russia-Ukraine borders and we look at it, and it's over 1 million Russians have lost their lives and 100,000 or 200,000 Ukrainians. We go into Burma, Myanmar, 300,000 people have lost their lives. We go down into Sudan. The Sudan's absolutely stricken down there. Nigeria, oh my goodness. This is where people, you know, there's been 200,000 Christians killed in the last 10 years there. And there's been over 400 churches burnt to the ground by Boko Haram. You know, so it's not just Muslim people fighting Muslim people and Christians fighting Christians. Far from it. Yemen. Oh my goodness. Yemen. How my heart cries for places like Yemen. A place that is in abject poverty and famine and has a horrible, horrible leadership that is just abusing its people. Oh my goodness. You know, brothers and sisters, there is a lot of nation against nation happening out there. There's false teachers taking place in society. Earthquakes, famine, pestilence. We're seeing all of this. We see this coming across the world. Christians being denied roles due to their faith. Yep, that's happening. The church and Christians facing public ridicule when other faiths do not. Yeah, the Christophobic media. Yep. You know, it might surprise you. I put a sign up out the front of my church. Bags, beers. Last weekend, bags, beers, and a punt. And you still feel lost. This weekend, maybe Jesus can help. Do you know, I had people from the community who wanted to get it changed, so it just said, you partied too much last weekend, maybe this weekend, Jesus. Because they were too confronted when the church spoke honestly into their societal challenges. And if you're thinking bags means something like an Yves Saint Laurent bag, it doesn't. Bags is another word for drugs that the young people are using. So I'm using the language of young people, and young people are ringing up saying, oh Nick, please change that sign, it's a bit offensive. Good. It's offensive because you don't like your bad behavior being called out publicly. And you feel guilt-ridden by it. You shouldn't, because Jesus takes away that guilt. Jesus relieves that guilt. You know, tough times are upon us. And something I've always known is you need rain to make a rainbow. You need rain to make a rainbow. So if you want to see the beauty of a rainbow, you're going to need rain somewhere. The Old Testament stories have their worth, and there's a lot of really good Old Testament stories. God calls people, and these people are not always comfortable people when they are called to do what they do. So in good seasons, we can talk about the tough seasons and how to deal with impending tough times. So I actually think our church is in a pretty good season at the moment. And so coming into a sermon like this and talking about the tough times gives us the ability to have open hearts and open ears, open mind, to actually think, well, what would happen if a tough season came upon us? Well, let's go to Jacob and Uncle Laban. Father-in-law Laban. You know, in Genesis 28 to 31, Laban has two daughters. Laban, you know, Jacob works for 7 years so that he can have Rebecca. He works for 7 years so he can have a wife. And Laban swaps in the older daughter first. It's terrible. And then again, he works for 7 more years. 14 years he works for Laban. Finally gets the bride of his dreams. But he has 12 sons, and the 12 sons end up being the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, of Egypt, the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. And they are the, you know, one of those people is Joseph. So, Joseph. We talked about Joseph just a few weeks back, didn't we? Well, Genesis 37 to 50 deals with Joseph and his journey. He's sold by his brothers to the Samaritans. The Ishmaelites he was sold to. He was sold to the Ishmaelites, the illegitimate relatives of his, from Hagar's children. And then there's his journey, and he ends up, and Potiphar's wife sees him as beautiful, and he ends up in prison, and then he ends up in the king's palace, and he has all these dreams he's able to interpret, and then he ends up as a ruler, and he ends up being called the Prince of Egypt. and he actually helps the people of Israel through a time of famine and starvation. And you know what? And the people of Israel move down there, but then later they're enslaved. And after they're enslaved, we come across this guy called Moses, who's going to help free them. But Moses is growing up with a bit of a privileged lifestyle, you know. But firstly, he was born and put in a basket and put on the river. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him and then raises him as her own. And it's a beautiful story, but then he gets angry when he sees some Egyptian soldiers beating at one of the Israelites, and so he kills them. He kills one of them, and he's not liked, and so he runs out to the wilderness, and God says, hey, while you're out here, let's have a chat. And so he picks Moses to be his mouthpiece to go to Pharaoh. And he's the right man to enter into the courts, because he's allowed to enter into the courts, he's grown up in them. But he has a problem. He's got a stutter and a stammer. You know, and he's sitting there going, God, I can't do this. I got a stutter and a stammer. And then we have the plagues, and from the plagues we have the escape. And you know, the people see that God are with them. God's with them the whole time. He's got manna coming from heaven. He's got the fiery and cloudy pillars of day and night. He's producing water from rocks that from in dry places. You know, there's quail that every day, their needs are met every day. Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Comes down, they've melted down all their gold. They're worshipping false idols. Oof. Job, we talked about Job just a few weeks back as well. Very wealthy. He had this loss, he lost everything. And his friends tell him to just curse God and die. And he says, Eliphaz, you're all mouth and turban. Eliphaz, you're all the words and you're all the look, but you're not the goods. And then he gets to a point of renewal and righteousness again. These are tough times, though, brothers and sisters, tough times. And there's different lengths of tough times that these people go through. So where was God? Did they seek him out, or did they call and listen? I mean, where did these Old Testament folk gather their strength from? Because tough times happen to them, but tough times still happen to us today, don't they? Tough times are still happening to us today. So who are we? What's your call? What's your purpose? What's your mission? Because God does not call you as a Christian and say, oh, I've got no purpose and mission for you. Soon as you turn around and say, God, I want to be a Christian, he goes, I got a purpose, I got a mission, and I got a plan for you. Let's go. Bring your life and you'll yield all to Christ. The burdens, the challenges, all of it. Just bring it all and let Christ take hold of it. Let Jesus come and start dealing with it, and the Holy Spirit work through you. See, when we look at the passage, how easy is it to be a Christian in our society when it seems so often very broken and perverse? I don't actually think sometimes it's easy to be a Christian. We're shy to speak up into our communities. We're shy to speak up because people decry it. People don't even like the honest words of what's happening. And before you sit there and say, oh, well, the Bible doesn't really have much to say about our society today, let me just read this wonderful little passage out to you from 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 on. It says, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, dishonest to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Wow. Timothy kind of nailed it, I think. I think he kind of nailed it. You know, do you believe Luke's powerful words in verse 15? I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. None of them will be able to resist or contradict the words that I give you, says God. You know, do you really believe God will give you the right words at the right time? And we see an example of this often in the book of Acts. And we may need to read it again if you don't remember it, but time and time and time again, God gives the right words at the right time. But sometimes we just need to have a little bit of fortitude, amen? You know, fortitude, what's that? It's what you do when you cannot make things better. It's how you live through the tough seasons. You know, and sometimes it goes on to say about, I think in Romans 5:3 it says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that trials produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. We are a people of hope, amen? And there's going to be good and there's going to be tough seasons in our lives. King Solomon gives us Ecclesiastes 3 and the extremes of seasons that can impact our lives. You can go read that for yourself, but there's some really good stuff in there. And we live on the other side of the cross to Ecclesiastes, the other side of the cross to Solomon. And so this informs us, but the Holy Spirit now is with us. The Holy Spirit was not seen as being imminently with people in the Old Testament. It would come upon them. But today as Christians, when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit himself. So how do we deal with tough and the and how do we stay, how do we really deal with the tough things that come across our lives? I suppose when tough things happen in our lives, the first thing happens is, you know, where is God question? Where is God? When I'm hurt by the church or by other Christians, where is God? Like, does God get that his people is hurting me? I think God has emotions, and I suspect he cries when people get hurt by others. You know, and he's also a God of forgiveness and justice. So although we're always, oh, you have to go forgive them, just remember God is also a God of justice. What if the thing is we're relying on our health and we rely on it way too much? Being a Christian does not inoculate you against illness or disease. See, what if we or a close friend, it becomes terminal with an illness? Does that mean God has forsaken us? And I know that there's a lot of Christians who would get to that point of thinking maybe God's not with me. But the book of Job makes it really clear. Even though you're going through the most hell-filled existence here on earth, God has not left you. See, we're all born with a terminal illness called life. Rich, bold, beautiful, wonderfully fragile. But our mortality does confront us. So let's talk about a destination called heaven than the reality of living this finite life that we have here on earth. Another thing people put their trust in too much, I think, is wealth. And the question comes up, well, what if I lose everything? What if my company closes or my stocks crash or my super dries up? You know, and the reality is this does happen to many people. In one sense, it's a first world problem. But on another level, it challenges us as we put so much value in the dollars and cents we have and its self-worth for each one of us. But there are also the what ifs. And there's too many what ifs. You know, we need to let our faith take over and let God be the shepherd. Because otherwise, we're just going to be stuck on what ifs for the rest of our lives. It's not unreasonable to be concerned about tomorrow. It is, though, however, unreasonable to be constantly burdened by the what ifs of tomorrow that may not even come to fruition. You know, I deal a little bit with risk and compliance and stuff like that. And risk really does ask the questions, what if? Well, if all the what-ifs came to fruition at once for me, for the different things I've been looking at in some of our different churches, sheesh, oh wow, it wouldn't be good. But let's get back to rain and rainbows. The hope we hold is in Christ Jesus. The promises of God's word is firm and sure, and we are assured of that, okay? And finally, we have this beautiful thing called hindsight. And in hindsight, we're able to see where the hand of God has been at work in our lives after an event. You know, because Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. And we all go, yep, yep. Do you believe it? Do you believe God's going to be with you to the very end? Hindsight lets us have tastes of that because we can actually see when we've been through a tough situation that we thought was going to kill us, but it doesn't. That God is with us. And at those times when we see where God has been with us, the rainbows happen. You know, we had a bumpy one. Sam and I went away from our family, we went away from our friends, and went away from our first placement. We went to Perth. And when we went to Perth, it was new schools, new work, new lifestyle, and we hit some of those amazingly big bumps in ministry. It was a tough season. But here's the thing, it sharpened my preaching skills. Sam learned how to do breast ultrasounds, which he always wanted to do. I actually think it helped shape me as a man in ministry for who I am. My boys made some awesome friends, most of which they still have today. And the rainbows were there for us to see. But there was a lot of storm clouds and rain taking place. You see, as I said at the beginning, tough times make tough people. Tough times go, but tough people last. I heard, as I said, there was a sermon I heard on this about 16 years ago. I can't tell you much about it, but I do remember this powerful, powerful phrase, that the tough people last. You know, what matters to me, though, is even though when we have the tough times, family matters in tough times. You know, in the tough times we've had in our, with different people in our family, they've come back to family more so when they've had tough times. And this is where it all comes and the rubber hits the road. You know, when our tough seasons come upon us, we need to know our Christian family. We need to know our Christian brothers and sisters with God as our Father is where our best support, nurture and renewal comes from. It is sometimes the best place to be ministered to is in the Christian family. Do you know that God has the right people at the right time in the right place to do His will for the blessing of the world? And it could be you and it could be me, but it could be you or me who are getting ministered to. You know, if you're in a tough time right now, come, have some prayer. Join me with prayer at the end. But also, if you're online and you go, oh, well, I'd like some prayer, then send me a text, send me an email. I'll pray for you. Dare to trust this community, the greater church community, with blessing and upholding you in Jesus' name so they can walk this journey with you. That's a really important thing to remember. Dare to trust them because they're not usually going to smack it back in your face if you're genuine about it. They're normally going to say, this is a tough season. We'll walk with you. And remember, God is with us. His Spirit is in us. He will not forsake us. And the Bible says, He is not out to kill us. Oh. In this tough season, take time to fill up your cup as well. Fill it up. It could be going out for a coffee or a meal with a friend, listening to some Christian music, drawing of time in the past where you felt God was with you and you actually noticed it. You know, and do not rest or rely on the things of this world which fade, tarnish or rust. Just stick with God. It's much safer. You know, this week, remember, do not be a person who runs away from everything. Far from it. Trust God is walking with us in this journey, with you and with me, because fortitude is a wonderful trait that He may be building up in you today. May hindsight show us God's grace to us all and where there are plenty of rainbows in our lives. How important is this for us as brothers and sisters to be able to walk this journey together? So important. So important. You know, people tell me, oh, I do Christianity by myself. I said, can't. You got to be in community, because when we're in community, God's got us in a way that we can never explain. But that's for another sermon. Have a blessed service and be absolutely blessed in the week that's before you now. Amen.